Welcome to the Creative Talk Podcast, where we talk all things success, longevity, motivation, and faith. I'm Dr. Carla Scott, and this is episode 3, sponsored by The Vocal Spa, vocal training for worship leaders, recording artists, and live performers. Today's guest is Vera Okoro, a DC-born worship and gospel singer living and singing in Georgia here in the U.S. Vera, welcome to Creative Talk. How are you?
Hi, Carla. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's such a pleasure. Listen, I was so excited when I got your little sheet that you send back with questions that I asked, and I loved your story about how you got started as a worship leader and even singing gospel music, and I'd love for you to share a little bit of that with our listeners.
Well, I've been singing since I was about 11. I first noticed I had a voice in elementary school. So from there, I've just been in choirs and groups and just singing from there. And I've loved gospel music even before I was born again. So, you know, one of the quick things, I know we're going to get into some other stuff later, but when you just do what you're called to do, you just don't know who you're going to reach. You know, even if they're not in a church service or something like that, you just never know who you're going to reach. So I love gospel music even before I was born again. Continued to sing and got born again at 19, you know. And then God just gave me a love for his word and a desire to just know him. And through that, he began to give me songs, original songs, which was a surprise to me. I've been singing for a long time, so getting the original songs was a little bit, you know, something new. And then just, you know, continued with that. And in 2013, I was really blessed to release my first gospel CD. So I call it a gospel CD, but most people who know me, they'll call it worship because that's really where my heart is. And I think as God has, you know, when you first start out, you're really trying different things. And you're trying to see where your focus is going to be and, you know, where your heart is and that kind of thing. And it's really has centered down to worship for me. So I think that's going to be my focus for my upcoming music and any other things I release. But of course, I'm open, but I'm a worshiper at heart. So
that's awesome. Do you come from a musical family?
That's a good question. Now, my mom sings around the house. I don't know if I call that musical. My dad was like a chorus teacher when he was younger. So that's about all, you know, as far as the music piece. I think I get some from him. And the rest of my siblings, you know, they all have an ear, but I think I'm the one that has really pursued music probably the strongest.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Tell us a little bit about your conversion experience. What brought you to Christ?
I was jealous of the other Christians in the room that seemed to know God and I didn't. You know, that really was what it was, if you boil it down. I had gone to a Christian conference, actually here in Atlanta, called Impact, changed my life. And I grew up in a denomination. I grew up Catholic, but I had never really accepted the Lord for myself or really even understood what that meant. And just always confessed I was a Christian, but I didn't have that relationship. And in that first meeting, December 27th, Bishop Kenneth Ulmer was the speaker. Never forget it. I looked around and I said, wow, these are Christians like I say I am. But they have something I don't have, and I want it, you know. And when he had given the altar call, that was the first time that I heard that you're even supposed to really confess and make Jesus Lord over your life. So I did that, and Carla, I've never been the same since. Mm-hmm. And it was just a desire to know him. I didn't have any trauma or drama or tragedies or crisis in my life. I think God draws us in different ways, but I really was just jealous.
Our stories are very similar, and we have to talk about that sometime offline, but a very, very similar. I was drawn to Christ in a very similar fashion. So we've talked a bit about your love for singing and how that's really landed you in worship, but you also alluded to, along with your singing gift, another gift was inside of it, and that was a writing gift. So can you talk about how that's evolved over time?
Yeah, you know, Carla, we serve a creator, you know, and so there is something on the inside of each of us to create. And when I got born again, I devoured the Bible. I mean, I read it through several times a year. I mean, I would be sitting at my desk at work reading on my lunch break as much time I could get. Leviticus, you know, Numbers, all of it. I read all of it. Micah, all of, you know, Minor Prophets, all the chapters that people skip, I read all of it. And I, for the beginning years, and I love that God put that in my heart, but I had an insatiable hunger for the word. And so when God began to give me songs, he began to give me songs where the word would just come out in melodies. Like a few of my songs in the CD that I released, I literally heard the melody come out in the word. I literally was reading a scripture and heard it sung, you know, in my spirit, and just had to find something to record it and say, oh, that's a song. I literally hear scriptures that people say, and I can hear, oh, that's a song. You know what I mean? So
I do.
His word, and that really has been my bent. Honestly, Carla, I feel like I have nothing to say if it's not the word. The word gives me what to say, you know? But it really came out of that. And the other piece, I think, came out of when you're walking with God every day and trying your best, sometimes the music that may be out at the moment doesn't quite express what's in your heart. So I think that piece of it too, there was just certain things in my heart that I wasn't hearing songs about, and I wanted to hear those, and I wanted to be able to express those to the Lord. So I think a combination of both.
I love that. It's very powerful and compelling testimony. And once again, very similar. I'm just starting to feel like we are definitely related in the spirit for sure. So you talked about on the information that you sent me, you had three really amazing life lessons. And I want you to take your time and unpack all three of those, you know, to the degree that you would like to. But one of the things that you said, for example, if you had to sort of give advice, one of the things that you talked about was that the word of God and your relationship with God has to be solid, and it has to be a priority. Now, a lot of people do not equate those things with success, because I think a lot of people have an unusual definition for success. But for me, and obviously for you, this is absolutely a key to success. So can you talk about those things as well as your definition for success?
So I think that, and mind you, I haven't always thought this way, but I think as you learn and grow, you begin to, you know, your mind begins to align with his more and more in different layers. You know, we're never going to know what he knows, but he talks about how we have the mind of Christ. And I think as we grow and are transformed into his image, we start to think a lot, you know, honestly. So I think there, and it could be society, it could be some of the ways we're taught, but we compartmentalize God a lot. You know, and there's a thing about sacred versus secular, you know, and in some things I kind of understand there is the holy and the unholy. But when you go back to the beginning, God is an everyday God. You know, we've confined him to church and Sunday or Wednesday, but he is a daily God. And that's how you have a relationship with people when you're fellowshipping and doing life with them daily, you know. I think that in your walk with God, first of all, the foundation of it, no matter what he tells you to do, whether it's singing or ministering, anything like that, that relationship is going to help you navigate all those areas and do them excellently. And so that relationship is vital for whatever you're called to do. And it's like a, you know, I've heard similes and metaphors and comparisons with, you know, having your gas in the tank and things of that nature. You know, you got to check your word level, your prayer level, your faith level, stuff like that. But, you know, you kind of have to keep a gauge on that, because sometimes we can keep it so separate and it's really not. You know, no matter what I'm called to do, I need that wisdom from God. I need that guidance. And success is based on if you're doing what he's telling you to do. Because at the end of the day, when we stand before him, he's going to open the Bible talks about books that are written about us that he's going to open. And the Bible said he's going to judge us according to what's written in those books. So to me, Carla, and actually I've never even thought about it this way, but that's success. Am I doing what's in that book, Jesus? But in order to get into that, you really have to have a relationship with him to navigate. He is one of the most creative teachers. He will put two things together that, you know, are part of your training that you would never even know, you know, relate. Kind of like the wax on, wax off. That's what comes to mind. The Kung Fu guy, he was doing the fence and had no idea that was teaching him the Kung Fu moves. I feel like God is like that a lot. So it's like, that's why you have to be obedient to whatever he tells you to do, because you don't know what it's training you for. You know, we can't judge everything by the outside. You don't know what he's training you for. And so you have to be obedient. And it comes from that relationship with him. The word of God steers you, guides you, makes sure that you are dividing soul and spirit, not being tossed to and fro, and really keeps you on course in order to fulfill those things that are in the book that were already written about you. Did I answer your question?
You did. So I want to go a little further with this. So someone may be listening to this podcast who goes, wow, I don't really even have a relationship with God. You know, I'm just sort of listening because I knew that they were going to be talking to creative women. And this lady really just, she is just on another level. I don't even know what that means. And I don't even really know if I need that. You know, I'm happy for her that she has this relationship with God. But I don't even know if I need that. And how would I even find out how God or knowing God could make a difference in my life? Most of the time I feel just fine. I mean, what would you say to a person who thinks like that?
I would say I thought like that before I got born again. And I was around people and I couldn't put my finger on it, but they had something I didn't. So you may not see that right now, or, you know, as you go in your everyday, but I would challenge that person to go a little higher. This podcast is helping you, you know, learn from other people, go in different other environments where you know strong people. And just that thought alone, like, there's something in you that's like thinking about it. But I will tell you, I think the first place to start is to pray and ask God to show you. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ who feel like they have plateaued. God is limitless. God is limitless. Even, you know, those of us he's taught some things to, we have not arrived. There is so much more in God. Oh my goodness. The thing is, once you taste it and see, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When he's giving you a taste, it's like, you know, there's more. You know, think about it. Moses, the man who did the signs and wonders, who split the Red Sea, who did all these signs and wonders, who spoke with God face to face, who, you know, went up to God 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. He said, look at all he's experienced. And he said, show me your glory. Now, what was that? What was all that previous that he experienced? He, who has experienced so much, knew that, wow, God, there is so much more in you, that, and I want to see more. So I would say, ask God to give you a glimpse of the more that he has for you, and you would never be the same. You would be like, you know, I don't know if this is a good example, but you'll be like somebody on crack. Like, you'll be looking for your next your next fix. You'll be shaking like, I gotta find more of God. You know, I gotta get more. There's more. I'm telling you, that hunger will never leave you. So I would say, God is limitless. There is more in him for you. Ask him.
I love that. And I think for people who may not have a relationship with God at all, I love what you said, that just even if questions are running through your mind as we're talking about him, that's an indication that somewhere deep in you, you want to know if this is real or not. And I love, Vera's very simple instruction. Pray to the God that you're not even quite sure if he's real or if he's whatever. Pray and ask him to reveal himself to you, and he will. I love that. I think that's great. You also said that one of your top three lessons learned is to cultivate a yes spirit. Now, when I was reading that, I thought, wow, I'm just getting to the point where I've learned to say no. We go through life so often saying yes to everything that sometimes we feel weighed down by having to carry the weight of what we've said yes to. But I suspect that when you say cultivate a yes spirit, you're saying something quite different. So tell us what you mean there.
I would say cultivate a yes spirit. And I like that you brought up that point. Yes to God. Yes to God. Because like we talked about before, your success is going to be in doing the will of God and what he has for you in your life. So saying yes to God, he's going to keep you on that path. There's so many good things out there, Carla, that are not God for you, not God for me. But they're good. They're great, you know, and we've got to be able to discern between that. So when you cultivate, and I say cultivate because it really is that it's work. it's work, because honestly, this curse-filled world that's, you know, just sin sick, you know, has a no environment to God. I mean, we want him out of everything in this society. So you're resisting that. But it takes work to cultivate, develop where your spirit is always open and willing to say yes to God. Sometimes the first step is just being willing to be willing.
I like that.
Willing to want God. You know, the scripture says he works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Carla, people don't believe me when I say this, and they're always surprised when I tell them this. But like I said, when I got born again, I sang for fun. I sang because I enjoyed it. But when I got born again, I got born again for Jesus, not to become a big gospel star or anything like that. I got born again I was in love with him and his word, and that was my total focus. And when he wanted me to start really singing, like more seriously in church and stuff like that, like really minister and really to go forward in that, I did not say yes. I had a no spirit. I just wanted to be in the choir. I just wanted to love God and read my Bible and not be in front of people. And Carla, when I talk about cultivating a yes spirit, this is what I have in my mind. Every morning for a number of months, I would write down the scriptures when I knew from God's spirit, a glimpse of what he had written for me in that book. I got it through my head. I said, okay, this is what he wants. He's not going to let up on me. And I created some confessions for myself. And every morning, Carla, I would wake up and I would march around my room and just say those confessions. I am a singer. I am a minister. Carla, sometimes I threw the piece of paper. because I said, that's not me. I'm a brainiac. It's not me. I was always real studious in school. So that was, I was like, this is not me. And I would pick the paper back up and I would just walk around and say, Carla, I did that for months to align myself, to align my spirit with what I knew God was saying to me. That's when I say cultivate. I mean, like you're a God, you're digging muddy, you're dirty. It is work, you know? But the other thing I mentioned too is when you do cultivate that, you begin to discern more between when you're not aligned with him. And I think that is so valuable and so precious. Now, some people ignore it and know they're going in the wrong direction, but I think the more you discern when your will is different from his and you go his direction, your discernment will get stronger and stronger. You'll get sharper and sharper. I think it's so priceless to the Lord. On one hand, it's kind of a feeling that you kind of never want to feel again, like you're in trouble, you know? But when you said something or done something that you know it's, you know, his direction for you. But on the other hand, I say, Lord, I thank you so much because I felt when you didn't want that. So I'm able to go in your direction. So I think the bottom line of that is obedience, I think, when you sum it all up. And so cultivating that yes is cultivating a lifestyle of obedience in a nutshell, the bottom line. And I think it just does so much for you. For me, it's so priceless to me to hear from God, to hear God. Carla, I sang somewhere on Sunday and God bless him. I had the pastor had a few words for his congregation out of love. And I had to come sing behind it. And I was like, oh God, what am I going to say? You know, you try to give a few words of exhortation before you minister. And what the Lord gave me to say, Carla, the pastor had been preaching on that the past 2 weeks. Yes. So hearing from God, you know, I've been at my day job. You hear things. God tells you to do this, tells you that. I had a dream the other night about some things God wanted to prepare me for. It is priceless, you know? It is priceless in whatever arena you're going to be in. So, you know, I know this is the podcast about music and the arts, but you mentioned faith as well, too. Your relationship with God, hearing from God, saying yes when everything in you wants to say no, or you said no already, and then just changing your mind and changing it back to a yes. Saying, God, I'm sorry. Okay, yes, you know. It will pay off. It will not be in vain in your life. It will be, you'll make good decision after good decision, and you'll begin to see the rewards of God come through, you know? So cultivating, it'll be work, but I think the rewards you'll reap will be worth it.
That's really excellent counsel, and cultivating a yes spirit towards God. You made so many excellent points there. It will oftentimes take you away from the way the rest of society is going. But that doesn't matter, because when you say yes to God, he will also take you in a direction that the rest of society is not going, which makes you stand out even more for him. So as an artist, as a creative, as a worship leader, wherever you find yourself in the creative arts, that's one of the things that we all desire to be excellent at what we do, but to also have something of a distinct fingerprint that causes us to stand out from the rest. And I do agree with you that by staying in tandem with our Creator, he knows exactly how to steer us and shape us so that we are different, so that we do stand out, and so that when we speak, we are literally carrying his word for a situation. All of those are so powerful. So you made some excellent points there. And I'm just as excited about this third one, which is, you said one of your top three lessons learned is to separate your who from your do. In other words, you're more important to God than your gifts and talents are. Many people have done what they have used their gifts so long and have become so known for their gifts that they really don't believe that they have value outside of using their gifts, what would you say to them?
First of all, I would say, if you don't take care of you the way God, you know, love yourself the way God loves you, you won't be here to exercise your gift. You won't be here. So if for nothing else, take care of the vessel. But I would say, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you sang a note, before you played a key, before you did anything, God loved you. God had a plan and a purpose for your life, but he loved you for you. He just loved what he made. He said, this is good. This is good. He loved his creation. Before Jesus did one miracle, he got baptized. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom, not in what he's done, I'm well pleased. And I am pleased with him. So with that, Carla, I would say, again, we are surrounded by the opposite message. For what we do, our gifts, who we are, we get applauded. Even parents, you know, bless their hearts, they have good intentions, but you're reared with the kind of approval, kind of, you know, reward system type thing based on behavior. But God is not like that. And I'll be honest, you know, my parents are native Nigerians. I'm number 4 of 7 kids. So you grew up like, you need to get good grades so you can get money so you can help take care of us when we get older. And, you know, they had us in line because it's just too many of us to try to keep straight, you know? And so there is a pleasure you get out of your children doing well. But sometimes we did feel that pressure to perform, to always be at the top of everything, no matter what it took, kind of thing. And so sometimes with that, you take it into your relationship with God and you kind of have to unlearn those things. And, you know, I would just say, who you are, who God made was good before you did the thing. You know, if you stop doing the thing, he'll be good, you know, with who you are. That's it, who you are, you know. And the Bible said, imitate him as dear children. How can we say we love him? He wants us to love him for who he is. Okay, he's the God of the universe. He's our example. He's our role model. How can he want us to do that and not do that himself? He will never ask us to do anything that he does not already do himself. He's our example. He's who we look to, you know? So I would tell people, you have value. You have value. Now, if you have been in an environment that's speaking the opposite, just me saying it may not be enough for you. You're gonna have to immerse yourself. You're gonna have to renew your mind with the word of God. And I kind of put in my notes, I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, learning process in a lot of these areas because I'm very ambitious. I can go. And, you know, I look at stuff on paper and say, oh, I can do it, you know, and maybe have not thought through all the logistics of it and how much energy it takes out of you and things like that. God is so aware and sensitive to that because if you don't take care of you, you know, see, number one, your relationship, you know, how many of us are cranky when we're tired? Cranky when we're hungry. We're not too much fun to be around when we haven't taken care of ourselves. Well, you know, God wants to enjoy us too. We're so tired, we never have time for him. That we're so, you know, wrapped up with something else, we can never enjoy sweet fellowship with him. We're all tied up in worries and stuff like that. I mean, it's as much for us as it is for him too. He wants to enjoy us. He wants to have that fellowship. He wants to love us. How will a God of love not care about a person? That's not even love, Carla. That's not even love. I think when we, sometimes when we think about God, we have too much of a hardness when we look at God. It's too much of a hard, you know, profile to him. And I think that's why some of my songs, a lot of them are from his point of view, for us to really understand his heart and know his heart. We see a hardness with God that I think is very much out of balance. He's a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God of holiness. But he's a father, first and foremost. And I think we need to cultivate that. We need to immerse ourselves and renew our mind with that. And it's a constant process. That's why I talked about number one. He's a daily God. You're going to have to daily remind yourself with this, because when you go to work the next day, the boss is going to want you to work overtime when you're dog tired. So you're going to have to renew your mind that my Father God in heaven wants me healthy and whole. And so he's going to give me wisdom with how to manage my work or anything or my family so that I am whole. He doesn't want me coming into his presence where he has to like rehabilitate me all the time. Is that fun for, you know, we don't think of him. We need to think of him as a real person. Is that fun for him? Is that, I have this thing I say where I say, you have to think of God as a real person. If it doesn't work in the natural, it doesn't work for him. We're made in his image. You know, if you have a friend that every time you call them, you have to build them up. It's one thing to have ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have to build them up. You have to talk them off the ledge. You have to spend the whole time, you know. When are you ever going to enjoy your friendship if that's all you do? Think about it. If it doesn't work for that, then Jehovah, then only every time you come into his presence, he has to, like, have you on the operating table. Now, I'm not talking about wounds and things that you're really working through. I'm talking about, like, every day, like, daily. You know, I had posted this on my Facebook one time. I said, God loves you, but does he enjoy you? And I mean enjoy as in, are you always wound up that he can't even, you know? If it doesn't work in the natural, it doesn't work with God. If someone in the natural will love you and pay for you to go to the spa and pay for you to get a mani-pedi and pay for you to go on vacation and pay for you to go to the Bahamas and you say, oh, they are so wonderful to me. Oh, they're my wonderful friend. But you turn to Jehovah and he wants to beat you over the head. And he wants to, you, he wants to, he, no, you didn't work hard. And no, you need to come back from that vacation. And no, you need to do, that. It doesn't work. If you have a natural person that would be willing to do that, if you're a spouse or friend, how much more will the God of heaven, who owns everything, loves you more than life itself because he gave Jesus life for you? How will he give Jesus life for you and then want to run you down into the dirt? Kind of defeats the purpose of giving you life more abundantly if I want to come and take it away from you. You know what I mean? So we have to, in a sense, be logical, you know, for lack of a better word. And I think my light is going out. But yeah, Carla, the thing that I remind myself is, am I loving myself, treating myself the way Jehovah treats me? Sometimes it's not other people or circumstances. Sometimes, let me just grab this light. Sometimes it's us. We are too, you know, have demands of society and stuff in our head, you know? And I heard the Lord a couple days in a row, probably a few months ago, and he said, that's why I said I'm still learning, you just start being kinder and gentler to yourself. And it was in something little. It was in, this might be too much information, but Carla, I like to exfoliate. I like, you got to get all the dead skin off. You got to exfoliate. But even in something smaller, small like that, like, Your sponge you're using is too rough. You need to get a softer sponge. And Carla, just something small like that was kind of like, love on yourself. Don't be so hard. I got to get everything. I got to clean. But something that small is a daily reminder to me, gentle. How can he tell us the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and he's harsh with us? And we're harsh with ourselves. See how sometimes we're just so outward focused. That fruit of the Spirit, we've got to love, peace, joy, gentleness, faith. Faith that what God put in you can work, will work. Kindness, self-control, meekness. You know, we've got to apply those things to ourselves. Love ourselves as Christ loved us. He's not going to be, you know, two-faced about it. If it doesn't work in the natural, it doesn't work with him. If he said it in his word, he means it.
I think there's a lot of loving correction in what you shared. And I think it's really a word that so many people who were raised in the church really need to hear, that there is, in fact, a balance to God. Yes, yes, he is a righteous judge. Yes, he has an expectation of us once we have received the free gift of Christ. And it's not even a but. And along with that, he is the loving father that you described. He is gentle with us. He is kind. He is merciful. And I believe that this is a side that people see so seldom that they have transferred those traits to self. You talked in a very balanced way about staying in line with God, receiving what he has for us, which will change our behavior. We will stop treating ourselves like we are deserving of punishment every moment. But I think that what has happened in our culture is we've swung completely the opposite way because we haven't been able to find relief from this idea of God as angry and judgmental and righteous and ready to punish. We've put ourselves in the God chair, and now it's all about, well, I'm just going to live a life that makes me comfortable. I'm going to live a life that makes me feel wonderful. And if you don't make me feel wonderful, you can't be in my life. That's not real. So this desire to escape from anything that makes us feel bad, I find it very problematic, because without challenges, we can't grow. Yes. So I just love the way that you spell that out. I thought it brought a beautiful balance, and I hope above all that someone listens to that and hears, you know, God is not angry with you.
Yeah.
You know, God loves you, mm-hmm. you know, and he loves you enough to send circumstances in your life to change the behaviors that will prevent you from having an eternal relationship with him. And that may not feel comfortable. But in the midst of that discomfort, he's also going to send wonderful things, great things, beautiful things. There'll always be balance. You know, if you had to give any piece of advice or maybe any last word of wisdom, like say to your 18-year-old self, what would you say?
Wow. My 18-year-old self. Wait a minute. I was, when I got born again, I was 19. So am I 18 or 19?
18.
Or 18? Ooh. I would tell her, the world is a big place. Be open-minded. What you think you need and what you think may need to be your path, there may be more than one way to get there. Don't just think that one thing is going to get you to your path. The world is a big place.
Well, that's it. That was excellent. And Vera, I just want to thank you again for being our guest today. I think that this particular interview is so filled with wisdom, and it's filled with the type of wisdom that we're going to want to hear over and over and over again. So thanks again for being on today's show.
My pleasure, Carla. Always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you again for having me. I really, really enjoyed it, and I hope people will be blessed by what we've shared today.